This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roseau County Historical Society. Cows were an important part of how people made their living in the early years of Roseau County. Milk and cream could be sold and butter made. This story appeared in a late 1917 Roseau Times region during our involvement in World War I. We have just received word of an interesting event that occurred in Blooming Valley, Roseau County, last week. There is a certain notorious female resident there that used to be well known in eastern part of Kitson County some years ago. It seems that a cow belonging to Fritz Johnson wandered up to the lady's house and was immediately impounded. Fritz, accompanied by Eric Olson, went over to get the cow, but the best they could get was a clubbing at the hands of the lady in question. It so happened that our own Alex Norland and Oscar Berg were out in that country, and with them as reinforcements, the other boys made another attempt to get the cow. They secured her, and Oscar was leading her down the road when he discovered himself pursued by the said female with a good-sized club. Oscar, considered discretion the better part of valor, dropped the rope and beat a hasty retreat. He says he doesn't mind facing the Germans, but no clubs in the hands of an enraged woman for him. The owner of the cow had to apply to the proper officials for relief, and he now has his cow, and the lady who captured her is enjoying an enforced vacation in the jail at Crookston. The jail at Roseau wasn't considered strong enough to hold her. That last article was credited to the Lancaster Herald. There has always been some form of crime in Roseau County. This next story comes from an interview my niece Erin Habstreet did for Mrs. Ann Olson's 11th grade English class at Roseau High School in the 1990s. We keep hearing it said today, what's happening? There's so much crime everywhere. It wasn't like this in the olden days. Well, what was it like in the early 1900s? What kinds of crime were being committed? From talking with my grandpa, Gilmer Flatten, these are his memories of crime in the Pine Creek area. With the Canadian border being just over a mile away from some houses in Pine Creek, smuggling items across from Canada was not new to most people. There was a customs officer in Pine Creek and an office in Piney, but no actual building at the border. This made this common practice quite easy. When cattle prices were higher in Canada, people could just lead their cattle across the border with no one noticing to be sold for a better price. One of the things that might be smuggled in from Canada was flour. Young Gilmer Flatten woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning to find his father hitching up the horses. Confused, Gilmer asked, "Where's Pa off to in the middle of the night?" His mother Ida answered, "If I tell you, you have to promise to keep it a secret. If anyone found out, Pa could go to prison. He's going to Canada to buy flour." "Pa in prison?" Gilmer never said boo. A few hours later, Gilbert was back along with 10 bags of Robin Hood flour, which he hauled upstairs. They now had enough flour to last the entire winter at half of what they would have paid for it in the United States. One time, the Border Patrol caught two brothers smuggling wool from Canada early one morning. The interrogators were not going to get anything out of the first brother. Every question asked by the authorities was answered with, "I don't know what you're talking about," in Norwegian. Although the brother could understand every word, he kept going with this little charade. The authorities finally cracked the second brother. He confessed to their crime, and the brothers received a fine. Fines weren't very large, though, because people had very little to begin with. Most people's point in smuggling was to try to earn a few extra dollars to buy some groceries. During Prohibition, Pine Creek wasn't free from the moonshine and bootlegging business. The moonshine was made in 55-gallon barrels. Malt, sugar, and some mash were added to this barrel. When you skimmed the top off this mixture, you had your whiskey. In order to hide themselves from the revenue men, some men hid their barrel out in the northern swamp. Attracted by the sweet sugar, a bear tipped over the barrel and filled himself with intoxicating liquor. Later, many trees were seen stripped of their bark, evidence of the drunken bear's path. bootleggers who headed north across the border to pick up their supplies drove back and forth on the road past Gilbert Flotten's. He knew who all these bootleggers were because they were either neighbors or people living closer to Badger. One day, Gilbert and a friend, Ole Olson, decided they had to figure out a way to get themselves a bottle of this moonshine. The next time a bootlegger was seen, Gilbert and Ole started wrestling in the middle of the dirt road. The bootlegger, not about to drive over these two wrestling men, stopped the car. Gilbert and Ole then got up and demanded a bottle for themselves. Moonshine, although homemade, still was some powerful stuff. At a house party in Duxby, Gilmer Flotten and a friend, Melvin Johnson, got a hold of some moonshine in a quart jar. Wanting to dance but not wanting to lose this precious liquid, Gilmer and Melvin wondered where to place the jar for the next few dances. Melvin saw a vase on the table with some flowers in it. They seized the opportunity and placed the flowers in the quart jar for a few songs. Coming back to the moonshine, Gilmer and Melvin both laughed. There were the flowers, this time hanging straight down. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.